You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The Flyers bounce back from a tough loss out on the lake with a 4-3 win over the New York Rangers. The power play was lethal, and it was clear pretty quickly that the captain missed playing hockey these last few weeks, as G totaled 3 assists on the night. Join us as we recap the win and take a quick trip around the league as well.
Carry on by Claude Giroux. Giroux holding, gets around in front. Goal!
Contingent.
Hey everybody, I'm your host with the most, Joe Gazarian, and I'm happy to see the Flyers finally remembered that they can shoot the puck throughout the whole game, not just, you know, small increments here and there. So, progress.
I'm Matt Arenick, and I'm happy we won, but I'm not happy that we lost Mark Friedman. Hexy is already testing my patience, it seems.
Yeah, that was a big flex by Hexy. I'm Mike Zawisza, and given everything that's transpired with this team over the last 2 weeks or so, I'll take this win. They definitely needed it, so it was good to see.
Definitely good to see. You know, we'll take it, 2 points. Before we get into it, though, do you want to do before we get into the recap and look forward, Matt, you want to take us through a quick word from our sponsor?
Yeah. So this week is jam-packed with action ranging from basketball to golf, and DraftKings has plenty of ways for you to have a front row seat to all of it. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night. It is incredibly easy. More bang for your buck while you watch. Yes, please. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users across all sports and is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there's no better place to get in on all of the action. Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. Please see DraftKings.com for details.
Very good, rough, Matt. Round of
very
applause,
rough,
Matt.
But
no, hey, you know, man, that's your first time.
That was
first
good.
Time. You know, first time behind the wheel. You got to get a feel
first
for the car.
Time.
We'll clean it up in post. It'll sound flawless.
But getting down to it, boys, the Flyers took down the Rangers 4-3 Wednesday night. As we mentioned at the top, the captain had 3 assists in his return. Farabee and JVR continue to shine. The PK struggled mightily, giving up, I think, every single goal in the blue paint, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. Kreider with the hat trick. So what are your thoughts on the win, boys? We should mention they got a win, so positive. But wanted to see what were your guys' thoughts on the Rangers game.
I think the biggest thing for me is this is the first game of the season on Natural Stat Trick. They have like the game flow chart where virtually like the entire chart, the line was in the Flyers' end. So, I mean, this was really their game at even strength at least. And we'll talk about the special teams version at least, but they at least broke even in the special teams fight, correct? In terms of goals, at least. And they got big contributions from the top of the lineup again. And also a couple unlikely sources. Erik Gustafsson getting on the board. Shane Gossesberg getting his first goal of the season. That was good to see. That looked like old Ghost just jumping into a shot. And
he stole it from Patty. I liked it. He was hungry for that puck, man. Yeah. It was a good goal.
Yeah, but overall, good performance at offense, at least. I mean, the team, I would say this game looked different from their previous offensive forays, where it wasn't just the high danger chances. They were firing pucks. They were being creative. They had sustained shifts in the Rangers zone. So that was good to see. Matt, I'm sure you'll bring it up, but you have to take this one with a grain of salt because the Rangers are shorthanded. And the Flyers are shorthanded too, so it's not like these teams were composed of their true rosters tonight. Flyers still had the edge in talent, probably by a significant margin. But all things considered, like I said earlier, this win is important, and I'll take it. But it's not one that you want to like hang your hat on moving forward or anything.
Yeah, no, I think Brian Elliott played very well after the bad first goal, which. Bad rebound on him, but, I mean, no one picking up the man in the crease. Pretty wild. Common theme, like Joe mentioned, throughout the entire night, they scored every single goal in that same spot pretty much. But like Mike said, I mean, it's similar to the Boston game on Sunday in Lake Tahoe. It's not necessarily something I'm going to look at and be like, I'm more confident in this team moving forward because the Rangers were so shorthanded. You're playing against Jack Johnson, Brendan Smith, who are absolutely terrible defensemen on almost a regular, every other shift basis. So, but it is good to see the Farabees, the JVRs of the world continue their strong play. Hayes was dominant. G was dominant. And yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think what else. Do we want to just get into the special teams?
Yeah, we can. We should. I did want to say real quick just some positives that I was happy about. I joked at the top that they remembered they could shoot throughout the game. Yeah. First time that I can remember they had double-digit shot totals in each of the periods. So, hey, man, I'll take what I can get.
The clear shot advantage, too, after the first.
Yeah,
that
was huge. No.
And because that kind of – sorry, Joe.
Just no, go ahead. Go off
that real quick. I was going to say in the group chat, and I forgot – this first period was a lot like the first period the last time these two teams played, except for the fact that the Flyers didn't really let the Rangers off the mat. I mean, I know the Rangers tied it, but the Flyers didn't really let them off the mat in terms of, like, they kept generating chances, and they were getting their shots through when they were taking them on top of that. So, just it's compared to last game where they didn't really follow that effort through the rest of the game, they actually did this time, it seemed. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was running the Twitter tonight, and I joked that, we've seen them play good first periods. Let's see if they can follow it up with a good second. And it was better. It was definitely better, a better effort overall. And they did have 8 power plays, which is, that's insane. They went 2 for 8, and in reality, it was really 3 for 8 because they got that Gustafsson goal, like, right after.
And that last power play was with, like, what, 4 seconds left in the game?
Yeah, so discount that. So, I mean, almost 50%, but, it's a good point to get into the special teams, Matt. But I was happy they were just shooting the puck more, even on the power play, because you don't have Jake on the other side, so that pass isn't coming, so it's good to get pucks on that. And Gustafsson, man, I'd love him to shoot more when he has the chance, because he gets that shot through a lot. But let's get into special teams. You guys want to talk about the PK or the power play first?
Let's start with the power play first, just because
they actually did part of their job tonight.
Yeah, let's start with a little positive. Partially that, JVR continues again his strong production on the power play, finding a soft spot. Great pass. Who was that from? Was that from G? Directly from G, or was that from Coops?
Nah, Farabee.
That Farabee.
That was Farabee? Oh,
yeah, geez. It was a nice play.
Very nice play there. And I'm drawing a blank. I guess it was the Ghost goal was the other power play goal. But, yeah, I mean, overall they look good in terms of being able to move the puck compared to maybe some previous games. The one thing I still find amazing, it's funny because my roommate from college was staying with us in Denver for the weekend, and he watches like some hockey here and there. He's not like a huge hockey guy, I guess. And he was literally asking, he's like, wait, why is Kutz on his like strong side? Like, why is he not a one-time option? And it's an amazing concept that Michel Therrien, it's like the Howie Roseman disease. It's like you think you're the smartest man in the room and you're just going to prove to everyone that you don't need one-time options when every power play in the league that is good has a one-time option at the top of their umbrella. And you could see it. It kind of took away the option. I mean, Kutz is not a threat when he's a left-handed shot in the left wall. Yeah. He really only has the pass option to the point or the pass down low, especially when they don't have someone in the trigger spot. So it was nice to see them move the puck around the way they did. And like Joe mentioned, they got shots on net and the great pass from Farabee to JVR kind of on the back door. But, I mean, I feel like both special team units are just being coached to just – I don't even know.
Real quick, I want to ask you guys, was LaPerriere on the bench last year? I don't think he was. I think he was up in the press box, wasn't he?
I think he's on the bench for a home game, maybe.
I think maybe that's what it is. But I was joking with myself. I was like, hey, LaPerriere's back on the bench. Maybe it's some bad luck. We got to get him back in the press box. Because last year the PK was, I mean, much improved. Anybody would say that. And this year they've had a really big regression. Mike, go ahead.
It's an understatement.
No, yeah, I mean, the thing with the power play tonight is like, They scored two power play goals, which any of the last 10 games we would have been, like, dying for.
Ecstatic about, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. But it's the fact that they had 8 opportunities. So, like, your power play gets you 2 goals. That's huge. And on any night, like, you take that because that's you're getting those 2 goals when you have the man advantage. But, like, 2 for 8, 2 for 7, really, like, it's tough because they had a lot of chances on it. They clearly generated momentum for it from it. I would say the only time they didn't was when they balked on that 5-on-3, which even
that
on
could have
that,
put the good chances, put the game out of way.
Yeah, even on that, they got a lot of chances, but they could have put the game away and they didn't. And then the Rangers come down and get one of their own. Now, granted, the Flyers made sure not to let that linger, and then they got momentum back, which was good. But, like, yeah, it's tough because, Matt, it's like what you're saying. You know, tonight was the best they've moved the puck around. It was the most confident they've looked on it. The configuration seemed pretty good. Except for the fact that you had, like, Kutz out of position. You know, you got to wonder if you just swap him, like, put him down low or something, or put him in the high
spot. Well, am I crazy? Slot, yeah. Yeah, am I crazy? Wasn't he there last year? He wasn't the trigger. He was a trigger man.
Dude, Michel Therrien just has no idea what he's doing.
Yeah, and that's
no idea.
That's the problem. When you finally get one that might work, like tonight, there's still just something that's a little bit off. So next game, do they keep it up? Or does Kutz being on the wrong side affect them negatively? So, I mean, like I said, though,
they gave up 2 shorthanded breakaways.
Yeah. Both to Mika Zibanejad. Both, I mean, honestly, good chances for him because it was like, you know, they're rolling pucks and it was his backhand high. Elliott was good to make the saves, but giving up shorthanded breakaways is never a good thing. Twice in one game, especially. Moving to the PK. I was joking with Matt before you hopped on. Like, I don't know what's the point sometimes of having such big defensemen if they're not going to take the body in front. I feel like Kreider is just sitting there. He just potted every single goal within 2 feet. No one's getting a body on him or making it hard to be there. So I would like to see a little more emphasis on, you know, you got to pay the troll toll to get those goals. I want to see something done.
Last year the penalty kill worked, in my eyes at least, because the forwards out high
were very aggressive.
Pretty aggressive, like very relatively aggressive. Maybe not as aggressive as other teams, but like they were challenging the point. They would make sure to like stick with their guy, maybe go for a chance if they could.
I mean, yeah, Hayes, and then he had a handful of shorthanded goals.
Yeah, he led the league in shorties last year. And then, there you go. And then the defensemen down low, they weren't playing as deep as they are now. Like, they would play maybe at, like, the low circles or something like that instead of, like, in the crease, which, like, if you're and then this year it looks like the forwards will go up to the point and pursue and then peel back almost immediately. And then that just gives the attacking team a chance to walk in, and by that point the defensemen are already in the crease, so the opposition just has like all this room to set up with nobody really doing anything. It's mind-boggling because I mean, we all lauded Mike Yeo last year for doing. I mean, he was getting head coaching looks because of, like, by other teams because of how well the Flyers, how well he turned around the Flyers' power play. So I don't understand.
And now we're literally third to last in the NHL in the penalty kill.
Is that after tonight or before tonight?
I think we were tied for fourth or something. But after that performance, obviously, it was like 50% or whatever it might have been. That's going to drop us down a little bit. But yeah, I agree. I don't know if I'm willing to make the excuse for them that, okay, they're missing Niskanen and Braun. They're lacking, like, defensive leadership and accountability to picking up your man. But, like, that you shouldn't need that. You're professional athletes. The first goal was simply because off the draw, as you're taught from the age of two, you pick a man up. You pick a winger up off the draw. You stick with your man. You tie up their stick. Literally neither defenseman did that on the first goal. By himself, terrible rebound from Elliott, and then he nets it. And then same thing, it's like Mike's saying, is the other problem is, if I'd have to watch a little bit more film on the power play to say as a whole this is an issue, but they're getting tied up with men in front, which you don't always like to do, because if you're tied up with one man, then there's usually someone open, whether it's backdoor or in the high slot, and that's exactly what happened on the second goal. Is you had Kreider backdoor, and it doesn't seem to be getting better, and that's the worrisome part.
Part of it too is, sorry Joe, real quick, like, part of it appears to be Mike Yeo. Like I said, like the configuration, not configuration, but like the style seems off, I guess. But then part of it too is like
execution.
The Flyers, yeah, execution. And that's, I think to me, that's like the biggest thing with this team this year is just execution. Because if none of the systems are actually different, then like the Flyers just have way too much talent to be doing this. Like, it, regardless of what the configuration is on the power play, there's no excuse for Kevin Hayes, Sean Couturier. I mean, I know he's been out for a lot of the year, but Sean Couturier, Claude Giroux, Michael Raffel, et cetera, all these, discounting the defensemen. If you even take out the defensemen from the picture, the Flyers have some of the best defensive or two-way forwards.
Because that's all we draft is two-way forwards. Okay. So for Christ's sake, you think we'd be pretty good on the penalty.
Yeah, like it's very concerning to, like, is it missed assignments? Is it lack of, like, the goal tonight, the first one, was, they highlighted on the broadcast, Kevin Hayes tried to win the draw forward.
Yeah.
Which is, like,
that's a wild concept.
It's a tough decision on the penalty kill. But then after he did it and, like, helped, like, he pushed it to them, no one did anything after that. They just let the Rangers settle in. Like, if you're going to push momentum forward on the kill, then you got to follow it up, because once you've made a decision, you got to stick with that decision. It's not like, you know, you get a second chance on the penalty kill. So, yeah, it just bizarre. I think that's been a thing with the team the whole year, is the talent when it comes through and when it clicks and when the IQ is there. Like tonight between the Giroux, Hayes, and Patrick line, that's a line with a lot of skill and a lot of hockey IQ, and they made it work tonight. And, you know, they were up near 70% core size. Same thing with the Couturier, JVR, Farabee line. A lot of skill, a lot of hockey IQ there. They were at, like, 75% Corsi. When it clicks with them, it's fun to watch. But far too often, we've seen really high IQ two-way players just not do the right thing on the ice, and it's very frustrating. Like, I'm not a, you know, play the right way, good old Canadian boy, like, hockey fan, but, like, what are they not remembering from last year that, like, no, playing a smart system in your own end leads to offense down the other? Like, I don't really get it. I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, my eyes tell me that aggressive penalty killing is better than passive penalty killing. I mean,
the Bruins are the prime example.
And even the Rangers, as you know, I remember 8 power plays, really 7. But as the game went on, the more power plays we got, the more aggressive the Rangers got, and the worse our chances became. So I would like to see the forwards really, you know, really getting out there. The defensemen, if you're going to be hemmed in the paint, if you're going to live there, then make it hard as shit for the other player in there. Don't just let them boss you around. Get in there, get your stick on the ice, and make them pay the price to be there. Because to me, that's the most frustrating part, is you've got these big defensemen. They're tall. I wouldn't say they're big, but they've got size to them. And they're getting bossed around in the paint by Chris Kreider. Come on. Phil Myers, I expect more from you. I expect you to use your body a little more physically, and the forwards to not be so passive on the kill. You're just letting teams set up. And one last thing before we kind of move on. I know faceoffs are overrated in terms of a stat, but I will say this. The power play looked a lot better this game. We dominated faceoffs this game.
Destroyed them in draws.
I don't think that's a coincidence, because when you have a power play and the Flyers are able to win the faceoff and immediately establish possession right there in the zone, they're able to get set up so much better than they're trying to break into the zone. So I think winning faceoffs is I understand a lot of people think it's an overblown stat, but I think situationally it is very important, especially on the power play for the setup and the penalty kill to immediately just, you know, Hayes had, I guess, kind of the right idea in trying to win it and immediately get it down the ice. But if you're going to do that, you got to do it the smart way. But anything else on the special teams before we move on to some other kind of Flyers and league news to wrap it up?
At least they didn't let it, like...
I thought they were gonna get tied on, by the way. I had a sick... The last minute and a half, I was... Ooh.
Well,
I was very nervous.
All I'll say is at least they broke even at special teams, and they didn't let a great 5-on-5 performance go to waste. Because that really... The penalty kill is really what allowed the Rangers to get back into the game, so...
Yeah, or the end of the day, power play, I mean. They go 1-1-1 without half of their offensive group. Not ideal, not bad. You'll take it.
You'll take it this year for sure. Moving on, though, there's other news we got to talk about. Flyers got a roster update with Giroux coming back, but also they lost a player. They lost 25-year-old right-handed defenseman Mark Friedman to Hexie and the Penguins. He fired the first shot. Considering how much the Flyers struggled with their bottom pair this year, losing Friedman for nothing, not a real great look for Chuck. Meanwhile, you still got TK, Jake, and Lindblom, and Lawton all on the COVID list. Hopefully, they'll be back by Saturday. I would think a lot of them would be. Matt, we'll go to you first. What were your thoughts on losing Friedman?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit before we hopped on here. I'm not about to say that Friedman's going to be the difference between what makes the Flyer team like an actual contender or anything of that nature, but I do believe he's better than Justin Braun. I believe he's better than Robert Haig. And it's just a very, very odd decision from both Chuck and from AV to really not give him a shot. I don't think he got more than a consecutive game of real action to show what he had. And especially considering AV likes the left-handed to right-handed combo, it was confusing to me how you let someone go through waivers, especially with the Hexie news and a Pittsburgh team with a struggling bottom pair the same way we have, really just go for nothing. I was so confused when he was playing forward in the outdoor game. The whole thing, in my opinion, was just handled sloppily.
Asset mismanagement, I think, is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, Mike can touch on this a little bit because he mentioned there might have been some looking around the league to see if anyone was interested on the trade route. But again, I want to reiterate, we're not mad that we lost him as much as we are about how kind of it was handled. And the fact that a team that's struggling on their bottom pair, you lose a 25-year-old defenseman who you never really got to see fully what they could provide you. I think, like Joe mentioned, just poor asset management and definitely a little, I don't know the word for
it's,
it.
It's a harder pill to swallow, too, because it's Hextall and the Penguins.
Yeah.
A little bit of a harder pill to swallow.
Yeah, it's the Penguins, and I could definitely see him fitting in pretty well on that Penguins team. So I think that's probably it, Joe. It's a little harder pill to swallow. So
yeah, it makes it look like the Flyers got punked or whatever, which, yeah. You know, we don't know all the behind-the-scenes stuff and everything. In my head, I had like a funny image of Chuck texting Hexie after the fact and being like, you asshole, or something. Like, I can imagine that behind the scenes, that type of stuff happens a good amount. Like,
well, remember, Elliot Friedman, I talked about it when Hextall got hired, but like, you know,
there's some bad blood.
Yeah, Friedman said, he's like, you know what, I wouldn't be surprised if this, you know, kind of creeps into the teams and ups the, you know, the rivalry. And Hextall has fired the first shot across the Flyers' bow. We'll see how they respond.
Any prospect, I think, at this point is pretty much fair game. If we,
I would not be surprised if honest to God, if the Penguins sent someone down waivers, wouldn't be shocked the Flyers took them. Just
there,
to say,
there'll
hey.
Be a retaliatory
claim.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty indifferent to this one, to be honest. Like, I can't, given the other night, the Bruins game and all the Carter Hart stuff and all the like drama around that. Like, I'm pretty indifferent to Mark Friedman. I liked him. I thought that he could maybe be a 6 or 7 for the team. Probably better than Robert Haig, probably better than Justin Braun. But, I mean, if the team doesn't see it that way, then that's pretty much it, right? Like, that's kind of where Nicholas Aulwyn-Kubel was stuck for years. And, you know, I have a feeling that no matter what happens now, like, if Friedman sticks with the Penguins, there's going to be a narrative now, like, wow, that savvy signing off of waivers, really, like, I can imagine that being a narrative. But, yeah, I mean, I guess bad asset management. I guess if there's anything to be annoyed at, that's probably it. But, again,
he can resolve all of this by trading for who?
Ekholm.
Matthias Ekholm, baby. I mean, that's it. Yeah, I agree. I did see. I saw some questionable comments today saying
from Flyers
that, like,
Twitter.
Yeah, from Flyers. Who would have thought? Basically, being like, you know, when Cam York and Jaeger Zamula don't pan out, like, the Flyers gave up a right-handed defenseman and Friedman for free. Like, basically, I mean, to even pretend that the three of those players belong in the same sentence is absurd to me. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I have to say on it.
Yeah, it's sometimes it's just the cost of doing business. You know, so be it. You gotta move on. Right-handed defensemen are a premium in this league, but I mean, you're joking if you think Friedman. You know, he was not a first or second round pick. You know, it was always a real long shot for him to make it. And I think we all wish him well. You know, to some extent. I mean, he's still with the Penguins now, but you know, as long as he plays well with everybody except us, that's fine. But wish him well. It's a long shot, but good for him. He's going to get some more playing time. And like you said, Matt, you know, maybe an Ekholm deal happens. That would sure make everybody happy. And I think that is honestly a deal. I mean, you keep him. If I'm the Flyers, you keep Ekholm and you figure out a way around the expansion draft. But that'll be a discussion for another time.
Hopefully.
Fingers crossed if they can do it. Real quick, we'll take a quick jump around the league, and then we'll finish up. Claude Julien fired Wednesday. First coaching casualty of the season, already done. I was surprised. My Montreal Canadiens are still pretty good up in the North Division. But, hey, Marc Bergevin has little patience for anything but excellence, apparently.
Yeah, that made no sense. It was...
I think Bob McKenzie said in the intermission, any other year he probably gets the benefit of a doubt, but because this is a shortened year and Bergevin has gone all in, you know, he's pushed all his chips to the center of the table. He's expecting, I don't know, a lot, I guess, out of this team. So
I'm not going to pretend I know much about the Canadian situation, but I mean, they start off so strong and then what? They lose like 3 games in a row. Like, yes, they lost to the Ottawa Senators, who they're a lowly team.
Hey, Ottawa's a desperate team, by the way. So
yeah, they're a lowly
team,
have good young talent. I've seen Canadiens fans all over Carey Price, which is similar to like the Bruins. Yeah, the Bruins being over Tuukka Rask like every single season whenever shit hits the fan. But yeah, I just thought it made no sense. Someone said on the broadcast that this is what happens as a result of high expectations, but I don't believe that for a second, considering going into this year, no one, I don't care, unless you're a Canadiens fan, no one had high expectations for this Canadian team. Now, they played very well to start the season. They look like one of the stronger teams in the league, yes. But you lose 3 games, and then you axe a Stanley Cup winning coach because of it? I mean, it just screams like desperation, and I don't know. Yeah, it's just a weird move.
It's weird because, like, it's not like they fired him, because who did this? Was it the Bruins before fired their head coach immediately after Claude Julien? Or was it the Canadiens fired their head coach to hire Claude Julien? Yeah. So it's not even like in that scenario where, like, Joe, I understand, like, in any other year, I guess he gets leeway because it's a desperate, like, that's a short year. But, like, they fired him and then just gave the head coach job to Dominique Ducharnay or whatever his name is. That, like, it's not like they hired Gerard Gallant.
I honestly, that's what I
also when I saw joined the coaching staff, which is unbelievable.
Alex Burrows?
Yeah, yes. he's on the coaching staff. Because they fire Kirk Muller, too.
Kirk Muller, too, which if the Flyers should take a little look at Kirk Muller as a potential assistant. He's a hell of a assistant coach. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't get it. It just seems like a questionable decision. The Habs, Mark Bergevin is definitely, he's one of those guys where when the pendulum swings one way, it swings hard and then it swings back even harder. I mean, his entire career in Montreal has been like one what the fuck move after another, both good and bad. So,
hey, I know the people on other podcasts on Spittin' Chicklets, they call him the Burger Van. he's a risk taker for sure. You know, when you live that kind of life as a GM, sometimes you get rewarded for it. Other times you get a swift kick out the door. So I think it is a little bit of a desperate move, if you ask me. I agree. But this is a man who, he has some big brass ones on him. He'll just do what he wants. And it's great for us because we get to talk about it and we get to joke about it. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
He had a bad day at the gym. Like, he went to like a maxed out session and like didn't hit the numbers he was looking for. And then, like,
Claude Julien walked in and
looked
at him
the wrong way. Yeah, or something.
He saw, he walked into the training facility. He saw Claude with a McDonald's bag. And he's like, you know what, dude? Fuck you.
He's got very, George Steinbrenner kind of vibes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll see what happens, man. We'll see. Other coaching news. Mike Babcock getting back into the coaching game. He's going to start with, hang on, I wrote it down. Where is it? University of Saskatchewan.
There you go.
Yeah, thank you. Right? I thought he was going to be back in the NHL, but maybe he's – I don't know if it's because nobody wants him or – I mean, he's a Stanley Cup winning coach.
He's toxic.
Terrible human.
Yeah, I mean
– toxic. No one's going to touch him.
Listening to Mike Commodore's stories about him always crack me up. But – I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think he's ever going to be back in the NHL, or is he done?
Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was going to say, from what I've read, this is a retirement move. This
Shut
is like,
the fuck up, really?
He's getting, because the salary for the job is like,
well, he's 60, still getting paid 000. By Toronto, right?
Exactly. So the salary for the job is like $60,000 or something like that, $75,000. So it's literally, he's just back
Canadian,
in his hometown.
By the way.
Yeah, he's back coaching in his like home area. He gets to live out retirement, making all that Montreal or all that Toronto Maple Leafs money, and yeah, gets to coach young, or they're not even like, that's the thing, University of Saskatchewan, it's not
those
even,
are men.
Like, U.S. college, they're old, they're all older players.
Canadian college is a lot different than American college, you're right.
So I think this is like the equivalent of putting your feet up in Florida, except Saskatchewan doesn't have nice weather. It's probably not as crazy in terms of human beings that live there. So
the craziest part is, I don't know if you guys saw it. I didn't watch the actual video. I just saw some like the comments and like the quotes. I think he did like a TSN
I
interview.
Saw. We talked about his Mitch Marner thing.
Well, yeah, they probably brought that up potentially, but he spoke about himself in the third person.
Oh, love that.
He said Mike Babcock had a good like year and a half or something along those lines. Something just
Mike
so
Babcock likes his chicken spicy for our Seinfeld friends out there.
Yeah, just the most cringe thing. Can you imagine like from a PR move? It's like, hey, Mike, everyone thinks you're a terrible person. They think like you look back at the Spezza move where you're back in Ottawa first game, you healthy scratch him just to show that what you're more meaningful than a Hall of Fame player. Go out there and speak about yourself in third person.
Yeah, I genuinely think that he's going to go down as one of the most overrated coaches of all time.
He might, man. He might. I mean, the talent on those Detroit teams was unbelievable. He had Lidstrom for a good while, Tomas Holmstrom, Henrik Zetterberg, Pavel Datsyuk. I mean, even their like role players were like Darren Helm. Holmstrom. Who else am I thinking of? Who'd you say,
Johan Franzen.
Johan Franzen. Johan Franzen,
Holmstrom, yeah.
Holmstrom, yeah. I mean, that team was so stacked for so long that, yeah, I mean, maybe he is super overrated, but I honestly thought he'd be back in the NHL because he won a Stanley Cup, and this is the NHL is very much a good old boys club, so.
I think there's just too many.
He's the goodest of all.
He is the goodest of all boys, yeah. Anything else, boys, or across the league you want to mention, or should we wrap up?
I'm trying to think if there's anything that caught my attention.
Flyers have like 80% of the players on COVID list right now. So
that's good. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. In terms of a Flyers stat that I heard after the win, the Flyers improved to 9-1-1 against teams not named the Boston Bruins, who they're 0-3-2 against. Mm. So silver lining, just as long as we don't play the Bruins again, but which we have to, like what? How many times do
we
play each
Four
team?
More times. We play eight times each, right?
So they have, what, three more games against them?
Is it eight? I don't know how many. Whatever it is.
I think it's eight times, right? Five, we've played them five times.
How many teams are in the division?
Two and one. Seven?
Yeah, so eight times each. Or no?
Yeah. Well, there's eight teams in the division, but you play the seven other teams eight times.
Yeah. So as you can tell, really good at math. So,
yeah,
Joe, bring us home.
No, it's we'll see. Obviously, I mean, that's an encouraging stat. As long as maybe we play them in the Eastern Conference Final, then we can have a headache then. But this team, I think I speak for all of us, it's still kind of tough to get a read on what this team is. We hopefully would have kind of figured it out by now, but with so many key players out, it's just hard to tell. One thing's for sure, though, they have to continue to pick up points. Where they should be, like tonight against the Rangers, because they have to stay afloat in this division. It's probably the toughest in all of hockey. They do have Buffalo in a back-to-back this weekend. Hopefully they get some revenge from the shellacking they took last time these guys met. If you remember, they got blown out. So we'll see. We'll see how they look. Look for Carter Hart to have a strong bounce back. I would not be surprised. But have a great week, everybody. Take care of yourself. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.